Hello, I'm Rob Andrew.
And I'm Keely Bartlett.
And this is Kootenai Morning.
Although the Prime Minister and his family will not be trick-or-treating this year, Dr. Bonnie Henry quelled early fears that Halloween would be canceled in BC. The BC Centre for Disease Control created guidelines for a spooky yet safe and healthy Halloween. I spoke to Dr. Karen Goodison of Interior Health to learn more.
My name is Karen Goodison. I'm a physician in public health, and I'm a medical health officer with Interior Health.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Interior Health is recommending people do to make sure that Halloween is spooky and yet safe?
Yeah, great question. So we are not canceling Halloween this year, and actually the BC CDC has some great tips for that, how to celebrate the holiday in a safe way. And we'd really encourage people to look at what their Halloween plans are, to plan activities that are outdoors, that are masked and distanced, and don't involve parties.
Mm-hmm, great. And so how about we talk a little bit about some of those guidelines? One is to stick to your own neighborhood.
Absolutely. So keeping things local reduces your risk of coming into contact with a bunch of people that you have not had contact with before. So if you want to go out in a small group of people that are in your bubble or in your, for example, your cohort at school, that would be the safest way to go.
Mm-hmm, right. And I know that we often see masks at this time of year around Halloween, but I noticed on the guidelines that they're reminding people not to wear costume masks over non-medical masks. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, so that would put two different barriers between the air and your mouth. So what we don't want to do is put so many layers there that it becomes difficult for people to breathe. So any barrier in front of your face is sufficient. So either a non-medical mask or a decorative or costume mask would be appropriate as long as it doesn't have a large hole in the front for the mouth.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll be another opportunity for people to get pretty creative. Another warning that was on the guidelines was that hand sanitizer is flammable. And
yeah,
we've seen in around Halloween time, there are always reminders that some costumes are flammable as well.
Absolutely. And we always see fireworks around this time of year as well. So don't wash your hands with hand sanitizer and then light some fireworks, because that would be a very risky activity. So we would encourage people to absolutely use hand sanitizer, let it dry completely, and avoid placing it near your pumpkins and other areas where it could light on fire.
One thing that I know some parents have on their minds is, do they have to wash all with candy?
No, I wouldn't recommend that. Similarly to going out to the grocery store and picking up items at our store, these candies, we want to see them pre-wrapped, right? So almost all Halloween candy is now wrapped already. So what we are actually encouraging people is collect all your candy, wash your hands prior to eating that candy. If you're worried, you can, quote, quarantine your candy for 2 or 3 days. That will be sufficient time for any potential virus that's sitting on the surface of that wrapper to die off. So you won't have any active virus on that candy, and it'll be safe to consume.
Right. And for anybody who has traditionally made some homemade treats to give out, what's the recommendation on that?
Yeah, so we don't recommend that even normally. Certainly there is, you know, a risk if the person who's making that is ill and hasn't prepared it with good hand washing and face mask, that there is a potential for spread that would be very small. But so we would discourage that. And even in non-COVID years, you know, we have seen that become a problem as far as people's health in other years.
Mm-hmm, right. And so maybe on the side of the people who are handing out tricks or treats, what are the recommendations for how the homeowners or residents can do that in a safe way? We've seen some interesting things so far.
Great question. And I think people are doing some really fun things, like, you know, using tongs or slides or whatever, so that they can stay distanced from the person. So you don't have to come within 6 feet to hand out the candy. Other options are to have things laying out on tables where people can come by, and it would, you know, not in a bowl. So we don't want people reaching into a bowl. you know, really what I'd also ask people to consider is, do you want to have Halloween at your house this year? What are the risks to your household? So if you have elderly people living in your home or people with chronic diseases such as diabetes, lung problems of any kind, cardiovascular risk factors that could make it very dangerous for you if you get a COVID infection, then I would say, you know what, this is the year to turn off the lights and just have a relaxing time indoors watching a Halloween movie.
Because, of course, there are other ways to celebrate.
Exactly. If you are having people over to your house, because we know, you know, we can say don't have parties, but for people who do have someone over to your house, make sure that it is absolutely, ideally, people who are already in your bubble. And, you know, there is some guidance on household parties now. There's actually an order that you shouldn't have more than 6 people who are outside of your family unit or your household unit, and that you can actually be fined for that. It's going to be a unique year for Halloween, but please go out and have a happy Halloween.
Okay, so we've heard from Dr. Karen Goodison that it's actually safe to celebrate Halloween in creative and unique ways. Are there people out there that are doing that?
Oh, of course there are. So we're going to hear from some locals who took the BC Centre of Disease Control guidelines as the inspiration to get more creative with Halloween. Here in Nelson, several people have been figuring out how to keep the magic alive and keep things safe.
I'm Dr. Christine Perkins. I'm superintendent of school for SD8, Kootenai Lake.
You decided to put out a message on the school district website about how kids can stay safe this Halloween. Tell me about the decision to put that out.
The decision to put that out was to make sure that students are safe under COVID-19. It's really important that we help educate our families on the proper processes or what might be allowable under these unique circumstances, being in a state of emergency still.
Mm-hmm. Making sure the kids are safe in and out of school. So in school, what is Halloween looking like in our school district?
So within the schools, we're just asking for small bubble-sized parties, so within their own classroom, and just asking that students still dress up. There's no sharing of food and that sort of thing. People still have to be very, very safe.
Mm-hmm, of course. And are you planning on dressing up?
I always dress up. My costume is very easy. I use a black gown that I completed my master's degree in, and I put a silver fur-lined witch's hat on. I have a long broom from over at Crawford Bay and some very spiky boots, and I go around cackling my way through Halloween.
I just love Halloween.
What do you hope that your students will get out of still being able to celebrate the holiday?
Oh, I want them to have fun. You know, COVID-19 has stopped us from doing a lot of things that we normally do, and we just want them to enjoy themselves, dress up, have a little bit of fun enjoying each other's costumes, being in character a little bit, and hopefully having safe candy or treats that have been, you know, individually wrapped and served with tongs and things like that so that the contact is minimalized, but they still get the experience of what Halloween might be like.
My name's Liz Babcock. I live in Uphill in Nelson, about 7 blocks up from Baker Street. Liz, tell me a little bit about how you guys are celebrating Halloween this year and how you're making trick-or-treating safe in your neighborhood. I think like a lot of people, we weren't sure, is Halloween happening? I think as our numbers have been relatively low in Nelson, it seemed that a lot of people were really looking forward to just having some celebration of Halloween, some normalization for the kids. And I think myself and a lot of people started seeing these really fun ways of distributing candy and also being safe. One of the reasons I'm putting maybe more effort in this year is because usually we have a haunted house that happens the street below us, and she retired from doing the haunted house. We normally get 300 kids at our house because of that haunted house, and I knew that wasn't happening, and so I really wanted to put extra effort into making it fun for kids to come and get candy. So we decided we were going to do a fun thing with making some kind of creature mouth out the our kitchen windows. Our kitchen window is right at the front of where our normally the kids would come up into kind of our mudroom area. So we're going to block that off and then just have a chute that comes out through the kitchen window. But we're hoping to make it look like a mouth. My husband's a techie, and he's going to do 3D printed thing for the end of the pipe, so it actually looks like teeth or a mouth or something like that. But like I said, this is all still in the work. Friend of mine, a couple blocks off, they've got a candy chute, but they have a big stairway up to their doorway. We're all trying to, like, how could we do this and have fun with it and also keep the distance and the extra creativity around it. I hope it makes it an even more special occasion for the kids this year. My name is Morgan LeBlond, and I live in the Uphill neighborhood near Trafalgar. This year, we are sticking with most of our Halloween traditions. The kids are going to go out trick-or-treating with masks and hand sanitizer, and they won't be allowed to eat any of the treats that they get. So I think we'll give them some treats to have in their pocket that they're allowed to have. My kids always want to have minestrone soup on Halloween. I guess I've been making it since they were babies. And then this year for giving out our candy, my husband has attached a piece of pipe to our railing going down towards the sidewalk. So we will use tongs to pick the candy up and drop it in the chute, and kids can catch it in their bag. Hopefully they think that that just makes it extra fun. Yeah, I listen to Dr. Henry when she gives her updates, and there have been lots of questions about Halloween, and she mentioned hearing about people coming up with different innovative ways to social distance and still hand out candy, and she mentioned that somebody had come up with the idea of a chute, and we happen to have stairs up to our house, so it works perfectly. I was a little unsure how we would have kids alert us that they were here, but my husband decided that we will set up on the porch with our propane fireplace and make sure that somebody's out there at all times so we see the kids coming, so they don't need to come up and ring the doorbell. That would defeat the purpose. Somebody will just sit outside with hot chocolate and blankets, keeping warm and watching for kids to come.
Mm-hmm. And why is it important for your family to celebrate Halloween this year?
I think that so many things are different and we're missing out on so many celebrations. We wanted to keep this one as close to normal as possible. Our family does social distance, so we didn't have grandparents or aunts and uncles or anything for Thanksgiving, and the kids don't get to spend time with their friends the way they're used to, and so we thought this is a way to at least have this holiday feel sort of like a normal holiday. Happy Halloween! Happy Halloween! Happy Halloween!
So some good examples there of how people are staying in the Halloween spirit. But what about some of our other Halloween traditions beyond trick-or-treating?
So beyond trick-or-treating, there is, of course, the beloved zombie walk on Baker Street. And that is also being affected by COVID. The Civic Theater's annual event is, however, continuing, and this time it's going virtual. This year, while zombies won't gather on Baker Street, the Living Dead are invited to submit their own videos. So here is May 10.
Things have changed in this town. Nelson, B.C. ain't what it used to be. This used to be a place where community meant something. But now, everything is different.
That was a video that we shot where everybody is kind of storming down Baker Street, and we kind of made it almost like a little mini movie. And normally, you know, in a normal year, that's not weird, like 2020, we would do an annual zombie walk where people come to the theater and they get dressed up and get their makeup done. And then we usually do a big walk down Baker Street, and there are zombies kind of banging on windows on shop fronts and banging on cars and stuff. And it is really a fun family event that we're quite sad that we don't get to do in a similar vein this year. but we've decided to go a little bit digital and let everybody do their own zombie walks from their own home and from their own little bubbles for the chance to win a double pass, which includes drinks and popcorn at the theatre.
So tell me about the title, Zombie Walk Dismembered. What does that mean and who came up with that?
So it was actually Eleanor, who is our executive director. We were just kind of spitballing and brainstorming ideas, and she's like, wouldn't it be great if it was, you know, it's just a weird thing and different from last year. It would be something like dismembered with limbs falling off zombies, because that happens all the time in zombie movies, right? And so, yeah, she came up with that kind of on a whim, and we just decided to run with it because we thought it was perfect and quite a fitting thing for a zombie event as well. So it's kind of to represent something that is not really how it usually is, but we're kind of embracing it this year.
Mm-hmm. And what can people do to make their submissions stand out? Do you have any recommendations for makeup tips or what they should be doing in the video?
We don't really have any guidelines. It's kind of just whatever you're doing for Halloween. We don't want it to be extra work, you know, in addition to what parents might be already doing to make Halloween as safe as possible for kids. But I guess what would really stand out is some very, very cool makeup. And it doesn't necessarily have to be zombie makeup. It could just be any sort of bright, captivating makeup that goes with your costume, or even maybe a big, bright costume or something that is completely something that's completely wacky. So instead of dressing up as a pumpkin, maybe you dress up as a watermelon or something, because it's all about being dismembered and being kind of different to the normal Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And how can people submit their videos?
You can find the instructions on both of our social media channels, so either on Instagram or Facebook, whichever one you're usually on. And there are some posts there, and basically you just have to tag Nelson Civic Theatre and hashtag Civic Zombie in your video post, and that's all you have to do. Just upload it before Monday the 2nd of November, and then we can go through and choose the winner.
How many years has the Civic Theatre been hosting the Zombie Walk?
I want to say it started in 2014. I might be off by a year or two, but we've been doing it for many years now, several years.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about why you host this event, what you hope people get out of it.
So for us, it's just a fun way of bringing the community together. It's quite a well-attended event for families, and it's a nice way for kids to hang out with other kids and parents to come and kind of just let loose a little bit for the day, be somebody else, dress up as something else that you wouldn't normally do. And it's also usually an event that happens during the day as well. So it's good for really young kids who may not be trick-or-treating late at night.